The Tarentine's offer was tempting. First, they promised him money and a large army raised from allied states. Second, by defeating the Romans, he could make himself master of Italy, and from Italy, he could take first Sicily, then Carthage in North Africa. Alexander had moved east to create his empire. Pyrrhus could move west and dominate the Mediterranean. He accepted the offer. In the spring of 280 BC, Pyrrhus set sail with the largest Greek army ever to cross into Italy. 20,000 foot soldiers, 3,000 horsemen, 2,000 bowmen, and 20 elephants. Once in Tarentum, though, he realized he had been tricked. Not only did the Tarentines have no army, they had made no effort to assemble one, leaving Pyrrhus to do it himself. Pyrrhus wasted no time. He declared a military dictatorship in the city and began to build and train an army from among the Tarentines as fast as possible. Pyrrhus's arrival in Tarentum worried the Romans, who knew his reputation as a strategist and fighter. Deciding to give him no time to prepare, they quickly sent out an army, forcing Pyrrhus to make do with what he had, and he set off to face them. The two armies met near the town of Heraclea. Pyrrhus and his troops were outnumbered and at one point were on the verge of defeat when he unleashed his secret weapon, his elephants. With their massive weight, loud, fearsome trumpeting, and soldiers on top firing arrows down at will. The Romans had never faced elephants in battle before, and panic spread among them, turning the tide of the fight. Soon the disciplined Roman legions were in headlong retreat. The eagle had won a great victory. His fame spread across the Italian peninsula. He was indeed the reincarnation of Alexander the Great. Now other cities sent him reinforcements, more than making up for his losses at Heraclea. But Pyrrhus was worried. He had lost many veterans in the battle, including key generals. More important, the strength and discipline of the Roman legions had impressed him. They were like no other troops he had faced. He decided to try to negotiate a peaceful settlement with the Romans, offering to share the peninsula with them. At the same time, though, he marched on Rome to give the negotiations urgency and to make it clear that unless the Romans sued for peace, they would face him again. The Romans proudly rejected the offer of a settlement. They would never share Italy. The two armies met again near the town of Asculum, not far from Rome, in the spring of 279 BC. This time, their numbers were about equal. The first day of battle was fierce, and once again the Romans seemed to have the edge. But on the second day, Pyrrhus, a strategic master, managed to lure the Roman legions onto terrain better suited to his own style of maneuvering, and he gained the advantage. As was his wont, near the end of the day, he personally led a violent charge at the heart of the Roman legions, elephants in front. The Romans scattered, and Pyrrhus was once again victorious. King Pyrrhus had now scaled the heights, yet he felt only gloom and foreboding. His losses had been terrible. The ranks of the generals he depended on were decimated, and he himself had been badly wounded. At the same time, the Romans seemed inexhaustible, undaunted by their defeat. When congratulated on his victory at Asculum, he replied, "If we defeat the Romans in one more such battle, we shall be totally ruined." Pyrrhus, however, was already ruined. His losses at Asculum were too large to be quickly replaced, and his remaining forces were too few to fight the Romans again. His Italian campaign was over. Interpretation. From the story of King Pyrrhus and his famous lament after the Battle of Asculum comes the expression Pyrrhic victory, signifying a triumph that is as good as a defeat, for it comes at too great a cost. The victor is too exhausted to exploit his win, too vulnerable to face the next battle. And indeed, after the victory, Pyrrhus staggered from one disaster to the next, his army never quite strong enough to defeat his growing hosts of enemies. This culminated in his untimely death in battle, ending Epirus's hopes to become a power in Greece.